to the show Je Savais Pas. I am your host, Esther Tyree, and in the studio with me this evening is Steve Caron.
Hey, everybody.
Good evening, Steve.
Hey, Esther.
Musician born and raised in Lafayette, and shocked me when he reminded me that it was 12 years ago that he and his lovely wife, Jane, made the move to Portland.
Yep.
But it was funny because you showed up at a gig and I said, hey, dude, while you're in town, come be a guest on my radio show.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, I don't have anything better to do. Why not?
And so here we are. So that's so cool that that y'all made it down to visit. I love that. Yeah, my parents are in New Orleans. I don't have to go very far. So yeah. that's definitely planning a journey when you're in Portland.
Yeah, we don't make that. We don't drive that anymore.
Yeah.
Not until we're retired.
So I think when I met you, piano and keys. But now you've started branching off into other things.
When we met, we were playing. We'd play some gigs with Harry Hippolyte.
Uh huh.
And we were in Black Bayou Construction with Deej
Legg.
Yeah,
Construct. Oh my God, that was a fun band.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so what? I don't know. I kind of want to talk about your journey and what you've noticed has happened since you've been in Portland in 12 years, and kind of talk about the music scene there. And then just highlight some of the songs from here. And then I think you said that you've got some projects that you're working there. And talk a little bit about your, just journey and development and songwriting and all kind of fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. So shall we start with a song?
Yes, we shall.
Well, tell us. I think this is Going to Louisiana. Tell us a little bit about it.
So this was a song that I wrote after I moved to Portland. You know, it's like, Portland is a very beautiful place. We made a lot of great friends. But you move someplace new and you don't really know anybody and find yourself feeling a little bit homesick. So this is just a song that I wrote thinking about things in Louisiana that I missed.
Uh-huh.
My own little kind of soul food, comfort food, and music.
Here we go.
I want to get high, I want to get low. Things only blown at the fatal dough. Going down to the river, watch the Mississippi flow. Going down to Louisiana, baby, do you wanna go? Look at that squirrel climbing up that tree. Look at that turtle on a cypress knee. I wanna walk the muddy beaches, feel that gulf breeze blow. I'm going down to Louisiana, baby, do you wanna go? Thank you.
That's right.
Matt has some fun music.
Yeah.
I got my chair dancing going. Truly Louisiana swamp, funk, blues, a lot of fun. And you had some good musicians on there.
Yeah, that was Jerry Lejeune was the producer. He was playing drums on that one.
Okay.
I think Benny Graff was playing bass on that one.
And I heard it to fair, and I heard a fiddle.
That was Mitch Reed playing fiddle. That was Pat Bro playing the accordion.
Nice. And this is off your album or your CD, Joy.
Yeah.
Of all, most of yours. That's really cool, Steve.
Thanks, Esther.
Yeah, and as soon as I heard it, I was like, I remember that song. I've heard it before.
That's right. You're on that album.
All right. So then you had some other some bands that you played with other than Black Bayou. Some groups that you collaborated with.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm from Lafayette, so I played with a lot of bands in the area. And, you know, Danny DeVillier is somebody that I've played with since, like, high school. We were mm-hmm. in high school band together.
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all might recognize Danny from Bonsoir Catan.
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of stuff. I know I saw that he was doing some stuff with, like, Katie and a Symphony and stuff.
Yeah, he did. He did some compositions, and they showcased one. It was really cool. And
yeah.
I think he's done – he's kind of moving into that arena now with original compositions for different projects and stuff.
Yeah. So Danny and I were in music school together here at
mm-hmm.
UL
mm-hmm.
back when it was USL.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's
I was here
right.
one semester when it was USL.
So yeah, we were – you know, I was like – classical music back at that point.
Oh, yeah?
You know, it's funny how your musical path tends to create itself over time, you know?
Oh, truly.
But we were in a band full of music majors called The Megatron Jones.
Mm-hmm.
It was not some Megatron Jones, not any Megatron Jones, but it was The Megatron Jones.
Let's be specific.
That's
not...
right.
Yeah. All right, so do you want to play that song or you want to talk
yeah.
a little bit more? Tell us about what we're going to hear.
So Megatron Jones, you know, it was like we were all music students. And, you know, just kind of wanting to get out there and do something that was a little bit more maybe like rock or
mm-hmm.
pop-oriented or something like that. That was back in the day when they had – this might be before your time in Lafayette, but they had a place called the CD Cafe. CD Cafe.
As in compact disc or as in –
as in compact disc. It wasn't CD.
S-E-D-Y.
But, yeah, it's a place, you know, back in the day you could go – originally they were out by like old-time grocery –
mm-hmm.
But they moved it to where I think there's like a pizza place right here on Johnson. And they'd have like little live cafe music and stuff like that, you know. And so initially we started this band and trying to think of songs that were just kind of like funny and fun to listen to and quirky and stuff like that. And so this is the first song that I wrote for Megatron Jones. It's a song called Pants.
Mm-hmm.
It is a song about sewing pants.
Sewing pants.
Yes. It's a very deep song. Lots of people have analyzed these lyrics. I don't know if anybody's gotten to the bottom of it, but it's a song about sewing pants.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Yes.
But, yeah, they'll hem you in and rip your pockets.
All right. That's right.
Let's listen to Pants.
Clean and mean.
That was so many some pants.
That's right.
That's kind of fun. I'm glad this airs at night, though, because there was a nice savory word that popped out and they went, oops.
It's only a three-letter word.
I think we're splitting hairs.
They got that word in the Bible.
Well, you know, and it does. You find that in pants. So.
You were talking about hemming. Don't hem me in.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. All right. Well, that was Pants by the Megatron Jones.
That's right.
And that was your first band? I mean, I know with Joy, that was you, and you kind of pulled people together. But
that was our first band where we were, like, really trying to be a band.
To be a band and to practice and to gig.
Yeah, you know, trying to, like, maybe get a record contract or whatever.
So you were, you mentioned classical training. What was the piano your first instrument that you started with? That was sort of your entry into music?
Yeah. Yeah. So my dad played – my parents got a piano when I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad played piano. So when I was little, I was really interested in the piano. I'd always go whenever he'd play piano, I'd go sit and watch him play piano.
Nice. Yeah.
And one day I thought – I guess, I don't know, my parents tell me this. I was like maybe 3 years old or something like that. And I went and I kind of started sounding out songs on the piano early one morning.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom said to my dad, I didn't know you taught him a song. My dad said, I didn't. So they got me in some piano lessons. There was a piano professor that lived a couple of houses down from me.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could remember her name because actually when I started studying for my master's degree in classical piano, I was awarded her scholarship, which was really neat. This lady who taught me piano when I was like, you know, 5 years old.
Yeah.
It's kind of like full circle.
Yeah, that really is neat. That's a neat little circle. So you were classically trained and then
Then real life. Once you get out of college, it's like now you got to figure out how to make money with this music
thing. Real life
thing.
Happens.
So, you know, I was involved with the university, so I, you know, taught some classes at UL.
Mm-hmm.
And I did some accompanying at UL, but then you're also out there trying to, you know, get gigs and make some money. So all of a sudden it's like, well, I'll do anything. So I joined – I remember one of the things that really struck me was joining a country band. You know, it's like I never really cared for country music, but it's like, okay, well, now you got to make money.
Yeah.
So –
gotta
yeehaw!
Pay the bills.
Time to buy a cowboy hat.
Uh-huh.
But it opened my eyes, you know. I found that, you know, when you play music professionally, then you can't judge music superficially.
Right.
You know, you have to kind of stop with, like, your, you know, kind of not be so strict with your personal tastes and open your eyes to, you know, the fact that, you know, there's good music in every genre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's can't just say, well, this is of this style and I don't like this style, therefore all the music under that category is bad. You can't think like that anymore.
Right. It would be like saying, well, I don't like green apples, so all green apples are bad. Well,
yeah.
No, because some people like green apples.
Exactly. You know, it's a good metaphor for life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you shouldn't judge things just based on its cover, you know. Yeah. Get in there and
you might not like green apples because maybe the apple that you were given wasn't ripe, or
maybe
was it
was a red apple that was still green.
Ah,
huh?
It was in disguise.
It was in disguise.
It didn't
can't trust those pesky apples.
I didn't want to get eaten. Yeah, that's interesting that you bring that up because it's true. There's so many, you know, different genres. It's almost impossible now to have one specific. I mean, classical music, yeah, I think. But even within classical, you have the different periods of music,
mm-hmm.
the Romantic and the Impressionism and the classical era as the name and then other things. And, you know, music being similar to language evolves the same way that language does.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you have a person that begins to dabble in songwriting, well, they're going to bring their accent or their dialect or their experience, so to speak, to that. And maybe they'll start with this style, quote-unquote, music, but invariably will change up something.
Yeah,
so,
because you're you and you can't help but do it your own way.
Yeah, so maybe you have honky-tonk country blues. let's just make a banana split.
That's right. You know? That's right. It's a gumbo.
That's the next thing, you know. That's true. It's the music, I think, becomes a gumbo the same way. Just don't put in that kale.
That's right. There's no kale in gumbo. Or tomatoes.
Stay away from that F sharp.
That's right.
I know sometimes I look at a song that's been composed and it's in 5 flats. You know, I'm going, why would you compose a song for a stringed instrument with 5 flats? That takes away all of our open strings, and that's what the resonance of the instrument is. Or if it's for piano, we'll just call it composition for black keys.
That's right.
You're not going to do much beyond that. So country band, and then?
You know, so then I was in Lafayette playing music kind of like wherever I could. I did a lot of solo piano gigs. Mm-hmm. You know, I was kind of a piano man in Lafayette for a while, playing all over the place. And then 307 Blues Club opened up.
I'm in that one.
Yeah, so that's where I got to know Harry Hippolyte. Then I played with Harry Hippolyte, played at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival in 2005. I was also fortunate enough to have a dueling piano show with David Egan for a while.
Yeah,
there.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's like I don't think that I fully appreciated what I was doing.
I know, right?
Later,
they often say that you don't really appreciate the moment until it's after, and you realize you look back and go, "Oh, wow!" I mean, I know growing up, I didn't appreciate the master teachers that my teacher brought in to teach at the summer camps that she hosted. That was the environment. That's what was going on. And we had these teachers that came through from all over the world, and they gave master classes and group classes and helped us do concerts. And it was just how I brought up in music. And now I'm looking at it going, whoa, you know, that was pretty amazing. All right. So then you did with the blues. Yeah, because I think when I first met you, that was what I knew you more as, like, sort of blues.
Yeah,
piano player.
It's really interesting, you know, and it's like blues was not my background.
Uh-huh.
You know, growing up, my mom's from Chitanya, so and we'd go visit her family every weekend. She's a only child, and I have memories of, you know, every time we drive up, my grandpa was sitting in his rocking chair. He had a little radio next to him, listening to Cajun music. And, you know, Cajun music was a part of my life when I was growing up. He had had an uncle named Lee Miller, who was a fine Cajun fiddler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't stick. You know, I guess it's like when you're growing up, a lot of times you want to be something different than who the rest of your family is.
Right.
So.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. You know, so, you know. Junior high school age, I think a lot of people find themselves listening to music of perhaps questionable taste. You know, so.
Well, speaking of music of questionable taste, you gave me a CD of Mod Amish.
Yeah, Mod Amish was was kind of a punk rock trio that I played in when I was in college as well. You know, Shannon Jones wrote a lot of the songs for this, and I think he was still is a good songwriter.
Yeah. And that's on the opposite side of the spectrum from blues and.
You know, it's interesting. You know, being
Louisiana
somebody who,
swamp stomp.
Being somebody who lives in a different state now, you know, it's so funny the stereotypes that people from outside of Louisiana have for Louisiana.
Right.
You know, one of them that's always striking that I always hear is. You don't sound like you're from Louisiana. You know, I think that people have in their own minds, it's like people from Louisiana are probably supposed to sound like they're from Georgia or something. You know, that kind of a southern accent. I always want to say, I don't think you know what it means to sound like you're from Louisiana, especially South Louisiana, where there's so many different types of accents. You know, you talk like this, you're from Eunice. You talk like that, you're from Ville Platte.
Let's listen to a little bit of...
Mod Amish.
Mod Amish.
I'm playing guitar on this song.
Ooh, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Here we go.
This is my rockin' guitar solo.
Mm-hmm.
you are shredding on that guitar.
Well, thanks, Esther.
So it's interesting. You forget what you've heard and what you know, and then as soon as that started, I said, "Man, I've heard this song before."
It's somewhere.
It's really cool.
Deep in the brain.
Yeah. Well, you are listening to Je Savais Pas, and it's a production of KRBS, brought to you as a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, which joins you in support of this station. This is KRBS 88.7 FM Lafayette, Lake Charles, and online at KRBS.org. And you've been listening to Steve Caron, local musician that has traveled and journeyed to Portland. And stay tuned. In a couple of weeks, we'll have his second episode that will feature Portland Mardi Gras.
Yeah. Who'd have thought?
Sometimes, you know, that it's like people think of crawfish and you know, they take crawfish up there. And I don't know. I've never heard of anybody going to some different part of the country and saying, let's start a Mardi Gras parade. So stay tuned for that. And this is Je Savais Pas. I'm your host, Esther Tyree, and good night.
KRVS is licensed to the University of Louisiana at Lafayette by the Federal Communications Commission in Washington, D.C. We operate on an assigned frequency of 88.7 MHz with an effective radiated power of 100,000 watts. KRVS is also authorized to operate aural studio transmitter links WHB 300 and WLJ 739 on a frequency of 946 MHz. KRVS studios are located in Burke Hawthorne Hall on the campus of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, with main transmitter facilities located in Maxey, Louisiana, and backup transmitter facilities in Doosan, Louisiana. This Doosan property is made possible through an agreement with the Lafayette Parish School System, creating a brighter future and partnership with the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. Find out more about KRVS and listen online at our website at krvs.com.